From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Hey, good morning, afternoon, night, or third meal.
Good time. Good elevensies to you. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average.
It's show 007 of the podcast. Hello, Storm.
Hi, Paul. I guess we'll name the podcast later once we know what we've actually talked about.
That's right. Just like Mr. Show used to do it.
Is that really how they would do it?
They'd pull a random line out of one of the skits, and they'd just give it that title.
That's
what we do, but since we don't have the skits pre-written, we have to pull the random line or the concept out post-show.
Or we could recycle titles from Mr. Show.
We could do that.
Randomly.
Yeah.
No,
so maybe,
just...
maybe the show is called The Cry of a Hungry Baby, then.
Perhaps it is.
Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. We'll have to see. What do we got going on? What's happened in the last week? You go, Storm. What did we do in the last week?
Well, we submitted our entry in the latest round of Song Foo on Quick Stop Entertainment.
That's right. Go ahead.
Thank you.
See how polite I'm being this time around?
You are.
You pissed and moaned last time about how I kept interrupting your flow.
No,
so please, Rhyme Master S, go to it.
Well, you're interrupting me in that like I'm freaked out, man. But no, here I go. I'm not going to worry about this or that thinking you're going to cut in at any second. I'm just gonna go with my thoughts here. So on Quickstop Entertainment, Song Foo, our assignment was to write a song about an inventor and or his or her invention in the style of a dance craze. So after racking our heads for a good, what would you say, maybe 10 minutes?
Yeah. Well, no, I spent at least a day and a half coming up with some really terrible ideas. So terrible, I don't even remember them.
Oh, please. You got to remember at least one.
Oh, God. What were we? Well, we're talking about writing something about the guy who invented the Nintendo gaming system.
Oh,
the
right.
Dance craze was going to be like left, up, right, down, fire, A, B, whatever. Yeah, that and that was about as funny as it was just now, so we gave up on that.
So you finally came up with, in the morning, or right around lunchtime, fire.
Yeah, the caveman who invented fire, or invented the process of creating fire, I suppose.
There have been some nits that have been picked over the fact that it's not, you know, strictly speaking, if you want to look at it that way, an invention.
Yeah. But we went with it nonetheless, a song called Me Make Fire, and it's chugging along. I think, as of last look, we were still 10 or 20 votes behind the Riff Tones.
See, I'm not able to, for some reason, I don't see the results anymore.
There's a view results button somewhere, in theory. I have to go back and look at it, but nonetheless, by the end of Wednesday night, you'll be able to see the results, because that's when voting is over.
So if you haven't voted yet, please visit Quickstop Entertainment and give us a little boost.
That'd be nice. Well, but only vote for us if you think we're the best, because we don't want a cheap-ass, go vote for us just because thing. You know, go make an informed choice, just like any election. So there was that. We have we got a tour this week. First honest-to-God tour in quite some time, since I would say July.
And I'll tell you why I'm excited about this tour.
Tell me why you are excited, Greg Storm DiCostanzo.
I'm going to tell everybody why. Indianapolis, two reasons, and you're going to be excited too.
Yes.
You might end up jumping up and down.
I might. I'm prepared.
Root beer.
Root beer.
And Mexican soup.
Oh.
Okay, I stunned you. Maybe you're not jumping up and down.
No, I'm sitting here tasting the root beer already. Let me go over the root beer part. There is a drive-in right near the Indianapolis Motor Speedway called the Muggin' Bun in Indy, which brews its own root beer, which is, I don't want to overstate the matter, it may be the greatest liquid refreshment ever invented anywhere, ever.
I'll certainly say it is hands down the best root beer that I have ever had. And even like that beats like the root beer you remember when you were a kid, when everything tasted awesome and the best
ever.
That's
right, when everything was new.
No, this is like the real new and good.
And
like,
plus, not only is it great root beer, but it's served at a drive-in, so they hang the tray on your window.
There's a frosty mug.
Yeah, frosty mug. That is a serious key element to this stuff. But it's just phenomenal and molasses-y and sweet and tart and awesome.
And
not to mention the fact that they serve like the veal cutlet sandwich as big around as your head.
Yep, it is a giant moon of a meat product. You can also get macaroni and cheese deep fried triangles.
Yeah.
That, you know, the root beer is still the star attraction, but it's got a lot of nice co-stars.
Yep. So now tell them about the small soup.
Okay. The small soup is just from a little nondescript Mexican restaurant called La Hacienda. There are several of them in Indy.
This is the one in the sort of the northeast section of Indy.
Yep, for the guy in Indy listening right now.
That's right, the you. Hi, Indy guy.
So Indy guy, this one's for you, and anyone living in the area, you know, it can be for you too. You go to this place and ask for the small soup. They'll know what you're talking about. They won't be like, what soup? And it's about $2. Well, it's more than $2,
but it might as well be $2.
Right, it's a nickel.
It's cheap as free.
It's a nickel. And it's a huge basket full of soup. I mean,
I would say
basket
a trough.
That would... What's that?
I would say a trough.
A trough. Or a basket that would hold liquid, if
it's
you can
like
imagine.
It's like a hopper filled with soup.
And there are all these goodies. It's like a little Easter egg hunt, but it's Mexican and there are no eggs.
Like, you know those claw games... put in a dollar and you go and try and grab something with the claw.
Yeah,
it's like one of those. It's like one of those where you play until you win,
but you win with every spoonful.
Yeah,
here's a winner: chunk of chicken. Oh, avocado, win again. Tomato, great. Spices, wow. Cilantro.
Ooh, here's some rice.
Onion. Oh man. So I'm ready.
So, seriously, whenever you are in Indianapolis, go find La Hacienda, order the small soup, and tell them Paul and Storm sent you. They will look at you quizzically and then bring you the small soup anyway, and you'll forget all about us, but you'll thank us in your spirit.
And if you order the large soup and complete it, let us know, and we'll make up some special badge award, the Storm's Gluttonous Warriors Badge of Honor.
That's all you, my friend.
Oh, sure, sure. You've never ordered the large soup, have you?
No, I watched you order it.
Yeah, yeah. I like soup.
Soup's good.
So
there's that. We're all over Indiana this week, and then we have here's what I wanted to talk about. On Saturday, we have a house concert. We haven't played one of those in quite some time. It's the concerts at 6th Street in Media, Pennsylvania. For those of you unfamiliar with the house concert concept, it's more or less like what it sounds, where somebody or somebodies take all the furniture out of their, say, living room and or dining room or their basement or wherever they're holding it, and they put in a bunch of folding chairs, and people show up, and they have a very intimate concert in their house. And it sounds chintzy and cheap, but actually, when you pick your spots and when the right people run the right house concert, it's really a fun, interesting, intimate, close experience. Not to mention the fact that, frankly speaking, at least at our particular level of fame, we would make just as much from, say, the 30 to 40 to 50 people that would show up at one of these house concerts as we would at a show at a venue twice its size somewhere else in town, because usually all the proceeds go straight to the artist.
But as an audience member, there's really nothing that compares to it, because they talk about some venues where it's intimate.
Yep.
This is literally, you might be in a folding chair 2 feet from the feet of the person you're listening to.
You could be in the actual lap of the performer.
And depending on who you are, you might be. If you come to the show.
Like if you're my wife, for example, and you came to the show.
Your odds would be much better.
Yeah, exactly. But this is particularly, we had played this one almost 3 years ago at this point. We played this house concert run by this very nice couple who now have a new baby. So that'll throw an interesting wrinkle into the mix, because there's nothing better than a squalling baby in the middle of a music concert. But they're really nice people, and we're really looking forward to it. So if you're in the Philadelphia area this Saturday, you could do far worse than come see us perform in these people's living room. Boy, doesn't that sound like we're high class.
Yeah, go to paulandstorm.com for details if you're interested.
Sure.
Whoops. Oh, sorry.
Oops,
that was Homer Simpson. I've got, on the Mac, I've got one of these little, you know when you first get a computer, you're like, oh, wow, you can put stuff on the desktop.
Yeah.
Oh, that looks cool. Well, I put Homer Simpson on there, who crops up for whatever random reason that they decided he would.
You're such a rebel.
Well, yeah, exactly. I put it on just because, like, oh, let me check this out. And I think they're the wiliest people in the world, because I cannot figure out how to get the damn thing off of there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what that was.
Speaking of wiliness, there was that. Are we going to have to pay, Matt Groening some sort of royalty now?
No, because I was totally kidding. It wasn't Homer Simpson. It was me talking into a can.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Speaking of wiliness, you, Paul, have been wily.
Have I been wily?
You've been a naughty boy.
Have I been a trickster?
You've been a trickster.
I've been a naughty, naughty boy. What would I do?
You have been on Twitter inciting the peoples.
I have. Well, we just this week, actually, it was earlier this morning, surpassed the 1,000 follower mark.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool, I thought, even though probably a good third of them are follow bots. And if you don't know what that is, just ignore that particular statement. But I thought we should mark the occasion somehow. So I sort of unilaterally decided that today would be Order Around the Paul and Storm Follower Minions Day. So I just, sent a few Twitters out where we told people to follow our friend Molly, the ukulelist in the Pacific Northwest.
Awesome.
Who is awesome. Yes, she is awesome and adorable. So we sent a bunch of people to go follow her on Twitter. And then we told people to subscribe to the Sound of Young America podcast, because that's
because
cool as
well.
Because
it is awesome.
Because it is awesome. And it's because it is also because it is about things and people that are awesome. And then what did we do? Oh, we had people send our friend Ken Plume from Quickstop Entertainment. We had them send him Twitters of their favorite breakfast cereal.
And several dozen of you did that.
Yes, we do appreciate your minioning. And finally, we've got and this goes out to anybody, not just our Twitter folks, a call for you to send in pictures of you with some sort of sign indicating that you are a minion, and we'll add you to our gallery on our Flickr account of our listing of the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions, which I believe about three people long at this point.
Which sets you apart from all of the other Twittiots out there.
Twittiots?
Twittiots. I'm coining that.
You're coining that, are you?
Yeah,
I
don't care.
That's the one you're going with?
Well, you got to lay claim to it first. And whether,
you don't want to go with like Twimbeciles or...
I kind of like Twimbeciles, but I like Twittiot. It's more dismissive. Like, you're a Twimbecile.
Sounds more like a curse.
What, Twittiot?
Yeah.
Or Twimbecile?
No, Twittiot.
Now, Twimbecile sounds like a sewing machine from like 1955, Double stitches in half the time, the Twimbecile.
It sounds like something from the
Lewis
Carroll. Jetsons.
Yeah. Yeah.
George! The Twittiot's broken again!
No, I think it is the character that Lewis Carroll had to cut out of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, he was hiding out under the mushroom.
Well, we won't talk about the Twimbecile anymore.
I have something I would like to rant about for about 2 minutes, if I may.
You
I've
have
been meaning
the floor.
To for the past couple of shows, but
okay.
I haven't been able to get to it. But
is
since
it about
we're about
my
to
breath?
Travel again, it is about travel. It is about air travel.
here
comes the hacky comedian jokes about air travel.
All right, I'm stepping away from the microphone. I'm going to get a drink. I'll still be listening to you.
You
Paul.
Go right ahead. I'm sure you'll be listening. Here's the deal. I travel with a keyboard, as anyone who's seen our act knows. The keyboard is large. It is certainly oversized. I acknowledge this fact to begin with. It's also overweight. So whenever I travel, we usually go by U.S. Airways, where we're on the frequent flyer program and all that. I will go to the U.S. Airways counter. I'll put the keyboard up on the scale and say, this thing's overweight, by the way. And I am fully aware that by policy, they're supposed to charge me not only the overweight fee, but the oversize fee. In 3 years of traveling with this keyboard, we have never once been charged the oversize baggage fee. Then, on our way home from Atlanta from Dragon Con at what must have been about 7 in the morning, I got Ms. By the Rules at the U.S. Airways counter, who
I'm back.
Pulled the old... I'm staying with my story.
Pulled the old.
I did the old. You know, this is overweight. You know, trying to be the honest, friendly guy that I am. You know, yeah, I got to pay this, but I know you're going to let me slide on the oversized thing. And she says, "Nope, sorry, it's oversized as well. Going to have to charge you for that too." And of course, they just recently bumped up the oversized fee from I think it was $70 or $80 to $100. Now, I know once again, I fully acknowledged that I was in the wrong, that's their policy and that's what they're supposed to do. But again, first of all, we've traveled dozens of times on U.S. Airways in the last 3 years, never been charged it. The one time somebody almost charged it, I managed to whine my way out of it. So I know it's fully within their power to waive the overweight baggage fee. Maybe they're cracking down on it because they're losing so much money. I don't know. I wasn't asking, after a certain point, I wasn't asking for them to waive the fee. I was just asking for them to, how do I describe it? I was asking for them to at least understand my frustration. Yes, I know it's your policy, but if it's a policy you never enforce, then aren't I allowed to be pissed off about it when you do enforce it this one time? Because, see, you know, it's one thing to pay $50 each way. It's another to pay $150 each way. It changes the game as far as whether I tour with this keyboard or not. So she did not take kindly to my pissed offedness, but I feel that while I was not in the right, that my anger was righteous.
Three problems.
What's that?
There are three problems.
Give me the three problems.
The first problem is that airlines, by like natural law, are not subjected to the same forces of reason that any other industry, venture, occupation, conversation. They just don't have to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. That's
by
one.
Law. That's number one. Number two, I think we backed the wrong horse. Granted, it's because U.S. Airways just happens to fly out the most from each of our respective towns.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also the airline that's the most in the shitter.
So, this is true.
Of course, they're going to put the screws to, you know, everything they can at this point. They're forcing credit cards down people's throats, you know, for gosh sakes. And three, and this is really the biggest problem, is that everybody gets screwed by the airlines.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that people would like be like, right on, brother, you know. But people think, well, you know, they wouldn't give me a window seat. What are you complaining about, you know, Mr. First Class Line Guy flying dude?
Yeah. And we weren't flying first class. It's because we're in the preferred travelers thing, just so people don't think we're like these schmucks.
Oh, you're preferred. First class.
Oh, poor guy, you got to pay $100 for his $3,000 airline seat. No, we just get to stand in that line because we're in the preferred traveler thing. But I don't know. I still feel like I was fighting the good fight, if not the quote-unquote correct fight. Maybe if there's listeners out there who care at all, you can tell me what you think.
I agree with you, by the way, for the record.
Thank you. I appreciate it, because you're my friend.
Oh, thanks. You're my friend, too.
And that's a good note to end things on, I think.
Yeah, so we've been, I'm Storm.
And I'm Paul.
And we've been talking about stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Don't forget to donate to the new server fund. The donate button's on paulandstorm.com. And we will see you guys next week, unless we see you in Indianapolis, or excuse me, in Indiana, or in my lap in Media, Pennsylvania this Saturday.
So go do things.
the deedle up that up. I'm gonna tell you what you're missing. It's a whole lot of loving, whole lot of kissing. It'd be so nice if you'd realize you gotta give me just a little bit of what you got. Got oodles of zap, yeah, oodles of dahlia, yeah, tada, butter, skita, yeah, oodle, butter, 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 skita, yeah.
The tree sat a big baboon. I said, come on up, cause I love you. Scootly doop doop doop, raccoon said, I think you're lying and I know it's true, cause your eyes may be brown but your ass is blue. It would be so nice if you just realize you gotta hear me.